It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 17th of May, the 137th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 228 days left until the end of the year. Here's a letter written quite some time back by Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar, the president of the Shetu RFI Listeners Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh. Sultan wrote about his school teacher, his ordinary hero. Here's his letter. My school teacher, Mr. Ahir Uddin, is an honest and idealistic man. He treated his students as if they were his children, with compassion, love, and affection. I was very impressed by him and feel he is truly a great person. Mr. Ahir Uddin is my ordinary hero. He showed me the way to walk with truth. He used to say to us, always speak the truth. Honesty is the best policy. Always give falsehood to lies. He came to school with a smile for everyone. His classroom discussions were led with an open mind and were presented in a way that we could all understand. He should be held up to the nation as a guide for teachers. The success of students is the proudest achievement of teachers, and he was very happy with our success. He helped us with our professional development and our employment decisions. I will never forget this hero. I think of him often, and he has seen how we live by his ideals and actions. May God bless him. Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar, President, Shetu RFI Listeners Club, Naugaon, Bangladesh. Thank you for that, Sultan. I know that now you, too, are a teacher. I hope one day one of your students will write an essay like this about you.
You're listening to The Sound Kitchen, and Susan Owensby is cooking.
The Sound Kitchen team is complete. Erwan Rome, our trusty sound engineer, is behind the glass window in front of us at his mixing board. And Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, Big Sister.
You're Roland Garros-ing, aren't you?
I'm getting ready for it, yes. I've just been doing a bit of preparation with one of our colleagues, Cecile Pompiani. Yep, we were out shooting the video just in front of the stadium. Lots of activities there at the moment. Lots of angry neighbours already.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Really angry because people are parking motorcycles in front of their driveways and they're getting the local police to come round and slap tickets on them.
Oh, oops. Okay.
Yeah, I can understand it. Loads of noise. Big lorries blocking the road and things like that. But there'll be thousands of people fairly soon.
It's only in the way. It's only a week.
Two weeks.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's 2 weeks. I always like it because, as you know, yeah, I live in that neighborhood, but not close.
But you don't live right in front of it.
No, I don't. No, no, I don't. But no. I love the ambience.
Yeah.
I love all those people walking around.
Yeah.
And your countrymen and their straw boaters. That is so adorable.
Yeah, but you know. You know, it's a look, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's something for mean looks.
They're probably the kind who say, jolly good.
Jolly good shot. And also, no, well played is in cricket. Well played, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
That's a peach of a shot.
A peach of a shot. Oh, I like that one. Okay. Yeah. So off we go. Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz it's time for the quiz. On On the 19th of April, I asked you a question about a Nobel Prize-winning author, Peruvian Mario Vargas Llosa. You were to reread Paul Meyer's article, Nobel Prize-winning author Mario Vargas Llosa dies, aged 89, and send in the answers to these questions. In which year did Llosa win the Nobel Prize for Literature? And what did the Nobel Committee write about his work? Paul, quote yourself and give us the answer.
As I wrote, his Nobel Prize in 2010 came 51 years after The Cubs and Other Stories. The Nobel Committee said the accolade was an award for his cartography of structures of power and his trenchant images of the individual's resistance, revolt, and defeat. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question. What are the obstacles that impede your happiness? And that was an idea from Erwan Rome, who suggested we look at the philosophy questions asked on the French baccalaureate exams. And those are the French leaving school exam. This one was for the 2018 students. You'll hear the answers later in the show, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are RFI Listeners Club member Father Stephen Wara from Bamenda, Cameroon. Father Steve is also the winner of this week's bonus question. This is what he wrote. I am a perfectionist and therefore prone to procrastination, hoping then when eventually I arrive at accomplishing my plans, I'll achieve paradise on earth. But of course, I soon find out that that is not the case. It's only a myth. And this oftentimes leaves me somewhat discouraged and a little unhappy. You can only achieve so much each time, leaving the rest to God. And that is why, on the other hand, by each recognition and conviction that God is always with me in both my successes and failures, I stay a lot more positive, thankful to God and man, and therefore, by and large, a very happy man. Congratulations, Father Stephen, on your double win. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are RFI Listeners Club members Samir Mukhopadhyay from West Bengal, India, who noted Vargas is one of his favorite Latin American writers. Mafazur Rahman from Kumila, Bangladesh, Niyar Talukdar from Maharashtra, India, and last but not least, RFI English listener Tanjim Tatini from Munshiganj, Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. Lights, camera, action! The 78th annual Cannes Film Festival opened this past Tuesday, and our very own Happy Olya Horton is there to keep you up to date on all of the doings. As Olya noted in her article, Ukraine, Gaza, and Me Too in the spotlight as Cannes Film Festival opens, and I quote, "Festival organizers have made it clear that, as is customary, the event will not shy away from world tensions, as global issues directly impact filmmakers, crews, and audiences." True to their word, there were three documentaries on the conflict in Ukraine screened on the opening day. And there's your question. What are the names of those three documentaries? And what are the names of the filmmakers? Again, reread Olya Horton's article, Ukraine, Gaza, and Me Too in the Spotlight as Cannes Film Festival opens, and send in the names of the three documentaries on the conflict in Ukraine that were screened on Tuesday, 13 May, the opening day, as well as the names of their creators, the filmmakers. You'll find Olya's article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Baby brother, what's the bonus question?
It is, what was your happiest moment in your radio or your DXing history? And that was suggested by Kondika Rafiq Ul from Nawagan in Bangladesh.
Baby brother.
Radio. I guess it will be my first assignment here at RFI. That's probably my happiest moment when I was allowed to go. I got the accreditation for Roland Garros. Yes, a long time ago in the galaxy far, far away. And I was allowed to go and cover the tennis at the French Open. My sister was really jealous back in London. And my mum was jealous and she was out in America at the time. And I said, yes, I'm going to go and cover it for 2 weeks. And they said, what, you're going to go for 2 weeks to watch tennis and get paid for it? And I said, well, I will have to work. And I worked very hard because in those days we had broadcasts. So I was rushing around because you had a few minutes to get all these scores together and then go on air as if, you know, you had 25 minutes to prepare the whole thing.
Exactly.
And sometimes you'd do live pieces, you know, be ball by ball commentary. It was fantastic in those days. But that was really, really cool. I got that. And I lived Roland Garros. It was brilliant. Albert Costa won that one in 2002. I'll never forget that one. That was my happy moment.
Ah, great. Yeah.
And yours?
Great. That I didn't get that I didn't get fired from my radio job in about 1985 for falling asleep and letting the record go for a long time.
Well, maybe people thought it was some kind of new record going.
Anyway, my boss at the time, Leo Sido, who later became a beloved friend, did not fire me, and for that I am always grateful. What about you? What is your happiest moment in your radio or DXing history? Answer in your own words. Do not use AI. Your answer will be disqualified. Remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. You have until the 16th of June to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 21st of June to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address and, if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
I am Erwan Rom, and I'm happy to be with you every week.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week was, what are the obstacles that impede your happiness? What gets in the way for you? What takes you off the path of happiness? Thanks to Erwan Rom for his suggestion. This was the philosophy question on the 2018 French Baccalaureate exam, which is the French Leaving School exam. Debashish Gope wrote simply that he is on the right path to happiness. And Radhakrishnan Pillai wrote, expectations, worries about the future, and desire. John Yemi Sande Ture wrote, disappointment is part of human life. Not accepting that and not accepting when I fail is what keeps me from being happy.
Rodrigo Henriquez wrote, it may sound machisto or retrograde, but not being married or having a romantic relationship is what keeps me from being happy. While I totally agree that one should be happy today by accepting one's current situation while trying to improve it, in the different degrees of happiness in the pyramid of necessities, I would call being in a loving relationship the transcendent top. Two heads are better than one, as they say.
Dipita Chakrabarti wrote, negativity and pessimism to an idea or thought are the main obstacles to my happiness. To me, loving, caring, and showing compassion to others will bring joy to one's life. The feeling of achievement of making one smile opens the gateway for my self-happiness. Hans Werner Lolliker noted that this is a very difficult question for a person like me who has had and still has a very easy life. I am content and grateful for the life I have had and for the life I have. What life has taught me is that the obstacles on the road to happiness are blockages that force you to find the right direction. There is a famous saying, when God closes a door, he will open another. Don't stand and knock on a closed door, but walk through the open door. For me, that has always worked. Jocelyne Derrico, who is French, wrote her philosophy exam again, and she thinks, ultimately, happiness is a fleeting feeling. It comes and goes according to feelings, sentiments, days, sunshine, rain, and company. In my view, one cannot be truly happy without true love, good health, a rich, fulfilled life, and a bit of wealth, which goes a long way to accomplish all this, although not necessarily for those who enjoy a simple life. However, in this world of forever increasing costs and digital finance, rather than community bartering and exchanges, it can be a real impediment to happiness. Jocelyne's countryman Christian Gibaudeau also hasn't lost his baccalaureate touch. This is what he wrote. Happiness is the sum of pleasures, said Plato. What is happiness really? Well, yes, I could consider that there are obstacles to happiness. Social life and all its constraints can be an obstacle to happiness. There are religious constraints that tell us how to behave, family constraints which seek to impose a certain way of life on us, financial constraints, even if the adage tells us that money can't buy happiness. Not having money doesn't lead us to be happy. The fear of suffering can be an obstacle to happiness. According to human relations experts, there are three major obstacles: negative thought patterns, such as pessimism, self-criticism, and catastrophizing, that can significantly harm happiness. These patterns distort reality, making problems seem insurmountable and successes seem meaningless. We don't erase the past, we move on.
And listeners, in addition to their very interesting philosophical takes and wide-ranging ideas, in future answers, both Jocelyne and Christian are also going to tell us about themselves. Mes amis, quand je lis vos lettres, j'ai l'impression d'être à un dîner des copains, qui est génial, mais il faut parler aussi de vous-même.
What was that all about? Back to English with Helmut Matt, who was also philosophical. He wrote, the obstacles against happiness. I think the obstacles are partly within ourselves, but there are also always life events that will shake our happiness. When relatives or friends are seriously ill or die, when our pet doesn't come back home because something has happened to it, or when the earth is shaken by forces of nature, when war breaks out. Nevertheless, as always, we should try to find our way back to ourselves and focus on the good in our hearts. Jayanta Chakrabarty seems to have no patience with the idea of unhappiness. This is what he wrote. I don't think that there should exist any obstacles to happiness. Being happy is a personal choice where money, fame, or power hardly matters. Rich people are not always happy. On the contrary, having meager resources can bring immense satisfaction if the people around you are also happy and content. We'll end with Malik Momin Raza Kokar, who wrote that for him, the obstacle to happiness is the wish always to be happy. Always thinking about whether the life I lead is satisfying or unsatisfying, exciting or boring, fulfilling or unfulfilling. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question, suggested by Kondaka Rafiq Ul from Naugan in Bangladesh, is what was your happiest moment in your radio or your DXing history? Thanks again, Kondaka, for the idea. Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
And the weekly reminder, it is very easy to spot the AI-generated answers. They are bland and impersonal. So do not do it. Those answers are disqualified. This is about you and what you think. And that's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating. And a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
This is not an AI Paul Myers. I am not bland and impersonal.
You are not. You are not.
Colorful and full of character.
Voila.
Thank you. Thanks, Susan.
And there's another one who is not bland or impersonal, our colleague Vincent Porra.
You guys know what to listen on the Radio France International, The Sound Kitchen.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to Erwan Rome for his input and his mixing mastery, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week, the 24th of May, for the answer to the question about the late Bishop of Rome, Pope Francis. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. This week, Erwan chose music composed by the American tenor and soprano saxophonist, flautist, arranger, and composer Frank Foster. The piece is called The Loud Minority, and it was recorded in 1974 in the heat of the American crises of Watergate, the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy, the Vietnam War, and the continued oppression of America's black minority. A little context here. The Loud Minority is a direct reference to the Silent Majority, a term used by U.S. President Richard Nixon in 1969, in which he referred to the large group of Americans who did not express their opinions publicly. In this specific case, those who did not march against the Vietnam War, who did not demonstrate with Dr. King, who did not join in the counterculture, and who did not participate in public discourse, hence the loud minority who did do all those things. Frank Foster was born in 1928 and lived until 2011. He collaborated frequently with Count Basie in his early career and worked as a band leader from the early 1950s. In 1964, Foster began working as a freelance arranger and musician, providing material for such jazz luminaries as Sarah Vaughan and Frank Sinatra. He founded the Loud Minority Big Band, an 18-piece concert jazz orchestra in 1972. The piece Erwan chose for us was recorded in 1974. In 1986, Foster became the leader of the Count Basie Orchestra. While leading the Basie Orchestra, Foster received two Grammy Awards. The first, in 1987, was for Best Arrangement Accompanying a Vocal, and the following year for Best Big Band Instrumental. He was an artist in residence at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston and also taught for the New York City Public School System in Harlem, a black neighborhood in Manhattan. Foster was also an assistant professor in the Black Studies program at the State University of New York at Buffalo. Frank Foster led a busy and a giving life. So here it is, The Loud Minority, composed by Frank Foster. You'll hear the 1974 recording featuring his Loud Minority Big Band, of course, and Foster is playing the saxophone. Enjoy, and thanks again, Erwan, for another musical adventure. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud.
We are a part of the loud minority, and as such, we are a part of those concerned with change. This change must come in the form of victory over all the evils.
Victory over all the evils.
The Loud Minority is not a non-profit organization, for indeed our profit must be the result of that victory. We are a part of the Loud Minority, and as such, we are a part of those concerned with freedom!
Freedom! Freedom!
Over our own destiny, our own mind, our own family. The freedom comes only with the change, and the change comes only with the victory, so the victory is mandatory. We are a part of the Loud Minority, to you know who.
Mm-hmm.